It's always a delight to welcome people into the family of God. And I want to remind you, I can't see where anybody is at the moment, but Sally and Nigel, Maria and Sam, that families do not only consist of parents and children. Families include aunties and uncles, grandparents and cousins, and wider family. They say it takes a village to raise a child, but it takes a church to raise a Christian. The church being the worshipping community of believers, and Christians being those who are disciples, who keep learning, keep following Christ through their lives. Last week at the 9 o'clock service, I preached on the first part of 1 Corinthians 12 and how we have all been given gifts by God when we become disciples, but how we can fail to identify them, fail to use them, or fail to develop them. And you are still, should you wish, able to pick that up off the website, and also Alison's excellent sermon at 10:45 last week. The main point of last week's sermons being that we are each given a gift or a number of gifts by God for the common good, and that when we fail to identify, use, or develop our gifts, we not only suffer ourselves because we fail to achieve our God-given potential, but the whole church is deprived of a part of what God would like to give us as a whole, and so we don't thrive and grow as we should. Our society encourages individualism, but God has always called people, and his purpose is for believers to be a part of something bigger, so that we can support, encourage, and enable one another. Paul has gone on to further develop that theme in the latter half of 1 Corinthians 12, which Rick read, by referring to believers as the body of Christ. Our bodies, as you know, are made up of many parts. If I have an itch on the end of my nose, I don't have to bend down and scratch it on the pew. I can just raise a hand and scratch it. If I need to get somewhere fast, my legs can take me there. But also, when running, my heart will pump faster, my lungs will inflate more rapidly, my ears will hear if there's a car coming up behind me which could knock me over, and my eyes can see where the potholes are so that hopefully I won't trip over. And my arms will move to help propel me forward. It's not just our legs that work when we're running, is it? But if I was running and trying to run really fast and my arm just decided, oh, I just don't feel like doing anything today, you try running with one arm that's just hanging there. It's not very easy, is it? I'm not going to demonstrate it because I'm not good at running. I should have got Rachel to demonstrate it. She's good at running. But actually, if your arm is just hanging there, your whole body will be out of kilter and you'll find it really hard work to run and you will be full of aches and pains the next day. If my thyroid, which I might remind you controls my heart rate, metabolism, and body temperature, went on strike whilst I was running, that could be pretty catastrophic, couldn't it? I don't think I'd run very far. Paul is emphasizing the point that all believers need to use their gifts so that the body of believers can be healthy and operate as we should, so that there are no parts holding the rest of the body back and not enabling it to fulfill its purpose. We might be tempted to think that we are not required to use our gift, that the worshipping community does not require us to function and can do without us using those God-given gifts, which are mentioned nearer the beginning of chapter 12, but also at the very end. But let me tell you a story. Sir Michael Costa was a great orchestral conductor of the 19th century. It's said that one day he was conducting a rehearsal in which the orchestra was joined by a great choir. Midway through the session, the piccolo player, that's the tiny little wind instrument, stopped playing. It seemed innocent enough. After all, with all that sound of the great orchestra and a great choir, who would miss the tiny piccolo? amidst the great mass of instruments blazing away. But all of a sudden, Sir Michael stopped the entire orchestra and choir. "Stop! Stop! Where's the piccolo? What's happened to the piccolo?" We might sometimes feel like that piccolo player, that we don't have much to offer, that if we stopped our ministry, no one would notice us. But the great conductor notices, and the music is not the same for everybody else. It's daunting being a parent, wondering if you're doing the right thing, feeling guilt, at least I did when I was a parent and I still do now, worrying about the effects of nature and nurture. Have I got it right? But we were never meant to raise children merely in the nucleus of a small children, parents and children. Children were meant to be raised by and within a community and wider family. And the same thing is true for us. We all need to be within community so that we learn from good and bad practice, have someone to pick us up when we fall, encourage us when we struggle, celebrate with us when we've achieved, to act as role models, offer a shoulder to cry on, a hand to help us up, offer TLC when we're sick, and so that we can benefit from others' experience, wisdom, and knowledge. But in the church, we're called to go one step further, to be a part of building the kingdom of God, where all are welcomed, regardless of age, ability, color, nationality, gender, sexuality, education, or class, and where each one is encouraged and supported and receives all they need to achieve their God-given potential. That is what becoming a part of God's church through baptism means. And it's exciting and energizing being in a church where everybody does support and encourage and build one another up. But it's even more exciting and energizing when we're also all using those God-given gifts. When some are acting as apostles, others are using their gifts of prophecy or teaching, or performing miracles. When things like that happen, the church really thrives, but so does the surrounding community. We shouldn't do things because we're compelled to do them, but because they make sense. And also because it demonstrates that love that God has for the whole world. And can I remind you that that love led one man to die for us? We've been given the gift of the Holy Spirit. It's not an optional extra. It's something we should all be using in our lives to empower and enable us. There's great diversity within the church, and we're also supposed to have that unity as well through the power of the Holy Spirit. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for the gift of the Holy Spirit. Lord, we admit that sometimes we're just too tempted to do things in our own strength, to do things in our own will. But Lord, we'd like to see more of your Holy Spirit working within us, empowering and enabling us to do all the things that you would like to see happening within your church, within your world. So we pray, Lord, that you will pour out your Holy Spirit upon all believers around this world, and that you will nurture these children in the faith so that they may grow to maturity and have a love and knowledge of you. We ask this in the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen.